said, Neman Dayan Omar, Lezeh Zachiti, Lezeh Chayavti. So Dayan, Neman, to say that in an adjudication that I said this guy was innocent, this guy was obligated to pay. That's as long as the Balei Dinim are still there. Because then he has to remember, so because of the Gemar Din, that he has to just make sure, ensure that it's carried out. So in that instance, we rely on him to say that that's what happened. About in Balei Dinim Omdim Lefanav, once the Balei Dinim have left, in that he's no longer obligated, or it's not necessary for him to remember which way the Pesach went, Enu Ne'eman, then he is no longer Ne'eman. So Gemara says, B'nechzei Zuchuta Manok, right, so what? They have, let's see who had the paper that, when the adjudication, right, he signed a document saying that you were innocent or that you were okay, you didn't owe the money. So he gets a court-written statement, you know, of his innocence or of his lack, not being obligated to pay. So just pull it out. Let him show us that document. So that it was ripped up. Right? It's no longer extant. This document's not available to us. So what it says, and there's our, but it didn't need to. Go back and let him adjudicate the case again. Meaning that if the case was paskin, that should be, right, it should be able to be replicated. He should be able to come to the same conclusion again if you bring the same facts in front of him. Gemara says, "Beshuda d'dayna." We're talking about a case here where it's not such. It's called Shuda d'dayna. Vachokas Rashi and Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam throughout Shas on what Shuda d'dayna is. Rashi says Shuda d'dayna is that the dayan looks at the most logical outcome over here. For instance, it's a question about who the property should go to, right? And there is no clear halacha about who the property should go to. Then we say Shuda d'dayna. The dayan looks at the circumstantial evidence, as well as who is this guy closer to, who is this guy more friendly with, meaning that if he said, I gift all my money to Tuvia, right, and then two Tuvias show up, and we don't know which one's the Tuvia, then it becomes a Shuddha Dedaina. Shuddha Dedaina means that Dedaina thinks, all right, he was friendly with this guy, he spent a lot more time with this guy, that's a Shuddha Dedaina. But Rabbeinu Tam rejects that, and one of his rejections actually is from this Gemara over here, because based on what Rashi's saying is that there is some logic to the conclusion. Meaning that his conclusion comes from his assessment of the situation. Which means that he should be able to replicate it again. So Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam says no. Shuddha d'dayna means literally the dayan gets to decide. It's his own decision. Right? It has nothing to do with the facts or the logic. It's what the dayan feels. Shuddha d'dayna is the personal feeling of the dayan, and he goes each way because of hefker based in hefker, and that's what shuddha d'dayna means. And therefore, he may not be able to replicate that because that's not necessarily derived from svaro, or it's not necessarily derived from any logical argument. And that's where Rabbeinu Tam learns Shuddha d'dayna. I mean, not only here, but wherever it is, Shuddha d'dayna, he says that it's not based on facts, it's based on the feeling of the dayan. I'm Rav Nachman.
He goes through a whole discussion this year with equity, you know, and equity and the, what they call the breakfast school of jurisprudence.
Rabbeinu Tam suggests that it's somewhat arbitrary. Not, I mean, that it's the way the dayan feels, but that does, when you have a, when it's based on a feeling, you can't necessarily replicate a feeling. Maybe even though he might feel that's the right feeling, I mean, that's his gut feel, but that doesn't mean you replicate it every time. Alright, Amar Rav Nachman. Shlosha nemanim ala bechor. Three people are believed to determine whether a child is a bechor. Ve'elohen. Chaya, aviv, v'imo. Right, that's the midwife, his father and his mother. Chaya la alter. We discussed this yesterday, but chaya, the midwife, is only allowed to make her claim when she is present with the child and when the child is originally being birthed. Right, then she can make the determination that it is a bechor. Imo. Called Shiva, his mother can make a testimony about the Bechor for the first 7 days. After the seventh day, the child's taken for a brit. Already starts to leave her hand. She's not in as much contact or control of the baby. Aviv Deolam, his father is always believed to say that he is the Bechor. Kedetanya, right? We have the pasuk that says in Kiteisa Yakir Lo, they say Yakir Lo, right? To give him Pishnai. That the father has the ability to identify which is the Bechor who will be entitled to get, right, the double portion. Yakirenu le'acherim. Yakir means that he can identify for others who the Bechor is. We kind of review the Neman Adam Lamar Zebni Bechor. This is my eldest son. Shem Shneemar Lamar Zebni Bechor. Kach Neman Lamar Zebin Grusha Vezen Ben Chaluta. Just like he can identify which child is the Bechor, so too, you can identify which child is a, or this child, is a ben grusha u ben chalutza. But chamim amim ain't a ne'eman. Chamim say that he's not ne'eman. Again, this is coming up in the Gemara. It's going to be a couple of daf. I just want to hear Tosu. Tosu says, why is it so obvious? Just because you can identify a child as the Bechor, What does that mean? That he can identify that another child is a pasul, a ben chusha, ben chalutza. They're not equal. I mean, identifying the bechor is his chus. Right? He's identifying who is the beneficiary, right, of the double portion. But to say, right, or identify ben chusha, ben chalutza is to a detriment. Well, who says, because he's believed by the bechor, that he's believed by the, right, ben chusha, ben chalutza. So Tosfos over here gives two answers, two possible answers. One possible answer is that it's in a case where someone else, one of the other children, was assumed to be the bechor. And he comes along and he says that to about a younger kid that this is the bechor. By doing that, right, he's basically casting aspersions on the yichus of the older children. Meaning that they were either mamzerim, they're not really his, right, children from this wife. He's somehow changing the status of these other children by identifying a younger child as the bechor. So you see, through his determination of the bechor, it has implications on the other children. The stronger answer from the Rabbeinu Eliyahu, which is what you said, we spoke about a couple of daf ago, which is that that parsha begins, right? That a person, Kiel Ish Tein Hashim, Echad Tnuav, Echad Ahuvah. Right, he has two. One that he loves, one that he hates. The Gemara identified, what does it mean that he hates? Hates means that he's Tnuav Bin Nisu Eha. That her marriage is a, right, inappropriate marriage. There's some sort of love, there's some sort of, right, halachic problem with the marriage. So then it says that he is entitled, right, to Yakir, right, at Ben Asnua, right, he has to give the Ben Asnua the double portion. So over here he's identifying, right, the Yakir, as Rabbeinu says, goes on both portions, but he's able to be Makir, who is the Ben Asnua, and who is the Ben Abachor. I mean, together, that, his identification of who the Ben Asnua is, basically casts aspersions on his Yichus, but also that he is the Bechor, and he's entitled to the double portion. So Yakir references not only the double portion, but Yakir identifies which one is the Snua. And Snua ben Nisua, therefore we learn from that his ability to identify who is the Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, or someone who is the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Abba Shaul HaKayera L'Shtuki B'Duki. Right, this is the last line in the Mishnah that Abba Shaul used to call the Shtuki a B'Duki. My B'Duki. Right, what is a B'Duki? What, how is that different than a Shtuki? Shtuki is who his father is. That's a Shtuki. Right, she's the one who silences him. Then my B'Duki. What's this difference between a Shtuki and a B'Duki? Ilay Meshu B'Duki Metimo. Right, so we checked for his mother out. We married the Kasher Nivalti. Amenet, right? So she, if we, she says basically that wherever I had, or this child was born of a kasher, right? So he says, come on, right? So, Kirabi Gamliel, Tanina Chadazimna. We already learned this. We know this already. That's not Hayami Uberet Amrula Mativa Shel Uberzeh, right? So if she's pregnant and we ask her what's the, you know, classification, identity of such a, of this, Ubar, this, fetus, Amra Lahem, Ish Ploni Bekoinu. The father of this child was from so-and-so, and he's a Kohen. Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Mer Nemenet. She's believed, meaning that she's allowed to identify the father of the child. Yeshua Mer, Lo Mipia, Anu Chaim. Since, wait, who is she to tell us who the father of the child is? We're not gonna, she doesn't have an emonus in it there. Rabbi Yudam, Meshmo, Locha, Kirabi Gamliel. Right, we know that the Locha is like Rabbi Gamliel, so we already know, right, what's Abba Shaul adding in this mission? If we already know that Gamliel clearly says that the woman is Nemenet, to as to whom she's been Nivelet, and therefore, what is our mission adding here by saying that Shtuki, B'duki, check him out, ask the mother? That's exactly the halacha mufreshet by Rabbi Gamliel. So it says, Chadu l'achshir ba, v'chadu l'achshir b'bita. No, we need it because her testimony, right, gives us, or identifies for us, two people here who are kshirim. One is that she is a kasher, meaning that she was not Nivelet to someone who was psula l'kuna. And that if it was someone that was psula the kuna, then she would no longer be able to marry a kohen. So first of all, she can identify for herself. She can make a claim that says that she is ksheira the kuna. The second thing she can testify about is that the child born of this, right, relationship is also a ksheira, and the daughter born from this is also ksheira le kuna. Meaning that she's able to, there are two testimonies. She's testifying about herself, but she's also testifying about the child. So therefore, we have one memra to tell us that she's believed with regards to herself, and one memra to tell us that she's believed with regards to the child, as the offspring, that the offspring is also ksheira.
A kadesha is only available to...
Right, so I told you, again, we've discussed this before. Right, that the Gemara, there's two opinions in the Gemara, but the basic idea is that a kadesha, not like modern day kadesha, is a woman who has, right, has relationships with multiple men. That is not a kadesha. But the Torah's level of kadesha is someone who had a relationship or was nivelet to someone who was psula l'kuna. Right? Somebody that would cause a problem from kuna. That has arayot. any of the arayot, that is a chalal, that is a nati and mamzer, all these that she's nevela to, that would be posel her the kuna, that could stay shot. There is a opinion, I think, of Rabbi Loza over there, that says that even if a pnuya has relations, then she's also considered a kdesha. But that he's a dati achid over there, and I don't think we pass him like Rabbi Loza, that a pnuya is not automatically a kdesha. She's a kdesha, she's nevela to someone that is psula to her. Right, so the Gemara says, "Anich leman damar the divya machshir ba posel bebita." Right, leman damar divya machshir ba nachshir bebita. Right, so now that makes sense according to one who says that if she is machshir herself, meaning that if she's identifying for herself, posel bebita doesn't necessarily identify for her child. Right, then it makes sense that you need two memoros to tell us: one that the woman herself is kshera, number two that bebita is kshera. Right, but that her statement about herself automatically, right, also makes an identification for the child. Right, so Abishol Mayat Alishminun. Right, what is Abishol telling us? I mean that if it's a derivative of the fact that she says I was nevelah k'sheira, that her daughter is automatically k'sheira, then Abishol is not really adding anything. So Mar says Abishol Adipa Mi Rabbi Gamliel. Right, that Abishol is actually making a statement one step above Rabbi Gamliel. Why? The right? So over there, where we said that the people that around there were robed shirim, right? That it was either she's a pnuya, right? Or the rove ha'ir was shira the kihuna. So over there, we say that she can make a statement that she can identify and say that I was nevela the kshira. The robe sulim emalo. Let's say that where the robe of people that are possible, meaning that are available to her, like an arusa. Right, or in instances where a pnuya and rova ear is psulim, right there, maybe she cannot identify, right? That's possibly she can't. So therefore, Abashol comes in around and says what? That even in an instance where the rove does not go in her favor, she can still make such an identification, she can still make such a statement, right? And be the, right? And she's not menace. It says she's a ksheira. So that's what Abishol comes to say. Aloha is like Abishol, that even in the face of a majority against her statement, nevertheless she is believed, and she is nemenet to say that I was nevelet le ksheira. And therefore she would be ksheira, as well as, according to this opinion, a derivative. I mean, her daughter would be ksheira, because that's an apolyose, that's an automatic, right, result of her saying she was a nevelet le ksheira, that her daughter is also ksheira. Okay, new Mishnah. So Mishnah establishes a principle, which the Gemara is going to work through because it's not so clear what the principle is and what's referencing. But it says here, anybody who is asur to join the kahal can marry each other. I mean that they're free to marry amongst themselves if they can't join the kahal. Rabbi Yehuda Oser, it says this doesn't work. That it's not true. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, bada'an bivada'an mutar. Then all the cases where we have quite like a safek mamzer, like a shtuki and a sufi, in all these cases, if they are a vaday mamzer and another vaday mamzeret, or the other way around, you know, they can marry each other. Mutar. Vaday v'speikan v'speikan v'vadan. If you have a vaday with a suffix or a suffix with a vaday, meaning that you have a shtuki with a mamzeret, or you have a shtukit with a mamzer. Right? In all these cases, he says, don't go ahead and get married. Why? Because any suffix has a possibility that they are kasher. Right? If they are kasher, then why are we going to allow them to take the risk and marry the moms or the mamzeret? There's a 50% chance that they are ksherim. And then why should they be able to marry? Uzbekan bezbekan. And that's true of a shtuki and a shtukit. Why? Before the Gemara yesterday made an assumption, and a sufi and a sufit. Gemara made an automatic assumption that a shtuki can marry a shtukit, and a sufi can marry a shtukit. It's not so clear where the Gemara knows that from. It's not so clear that that is just obvious that the tzveikot can marry each other, but the Gemara took it as a given. So let's discuss it over there.
Well, Rabbi Eliezer said that in the Torah, even
right. So it's clear here that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold that. Right. But that's a little bit easier because there we're going the tzad kasherus, meaning that we're saying that we're assuming that the 50 that they are kasher, and then they can marry into a mamzer. But when you have a suffix and a suffix, there's a chance that they are psulim and a chance that they are ksherim. Why are we going to allow them to get together with the Easter? The Easter is to marry, for a kosher to marry into this mamzer. Right, and when it comes to a suffix, the suffix is a sur, because one of them might be kosher, one of them might be psul, they can't get married. What are the speikot? That's shtuki, sufi, and kuti, which the Gemara has to deal with. Kuti is the only one we haven't dealt with yet. Right now, Gemara wants to deal with what we're going to deal with the rest of the daf today, is the first part of the Mishnah. Mai, kol asurim lavo b'kal. What does it mean, anybody who's not able to join the kal? If you say all the stuff that was specified in our Mishnah, that was exactly what the first Mishnah said. That Mamzerim, Nitzinim, Shtuki, and Asufi are allowed to marry amongst each other. What do I need another Mishnah to tell me that they're allowed to marry amongst each other? Mamzerim, Nitzinim, Shtuki, Asufi, Mutarim, Lavozevizet. The two. Rabbi Yehuda Oser. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Oser. Ahai. What is Rabbi Yehuda Oser? Ilema Avadan Bisfekan. Right? If you're saying that he says that Abadai can't marry a Safek, Hamek Tani Sefer, because Rabbi Vadan Bavadan Mutar. Vadan Bisfekan, Asfekan, Bisfekan, Asur. Mechalad Rabbi Yehuda, lo spirulei. If that's what Rabbi Yehuda was coming to say, then just let him say Rabbi Lezer, be Rabbi Yehuda Omer. I mean, that if all Rabbi Yehuda was coming to say is that it's only true with Vadai Vadai, not true with Vadai Nesofek, let him just join Rabbi Elezer's opinion and have a single opinion, which is that. So that can't be what Rabbi Yehuda is coming to say. Vechitemi Rabbi Yehuda Oser, Agir B'Mamzeret. So what Rabbi Yehuda is coming to say, no, the Ger and the Mamzeret can't get married, because we've seen such a machlokus before. The Ger and Mamzeret is a machlokus Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Are the guys who get married? Me, the Ger and Mamzeret, Tani. Wait, Ger and Mamzeret are not listed over here, right? Kol Asurim Lavo Bakal, Tani. It says anybody who is Asur Lavo Bakal, right, they are allowed to marry each other. It didn't specifically identify Ger and Mamzeret as a unique case where Rabbi Yehuda comes to be Oser. But Rabbi Yehuda can't just make a blanket statement in Oser when he's not, it's not referenced, right, he's not referencing what if the Tanakhama identified. They didn't make Kol Asurim Lavo Bakal. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about it as a unique case of Ger and Mamzeret. You can't just say Asur and we're going to assume that that's about Ger and Mamzeret.
No, it's not. Ger is not Asur Lavo Bakal altogether. You can't be talking about a Ger. It's talking about Asur Lavo Bakal. And Ger has no Asur Lavo Bakal.
Right, that's true. Right, in Akhanami. Right. That's it. Well, first of all, it's not even in the, right. Okay, it's not even in the list. Right, it's not even in the list. He wouldn't even be included in that list. Forget about it. But even if you say that he would be included in the list, right, the list is not extensive here. I mean, that he's saying Aser and he's not identifying which part of the list is problematic. Alright, now, we have the Amoraim are going to try, a number of Amoraim are going to try to explain this mission. So I'm going to review who does the first. Okay, Kamar, this is what it means. Call out Srim Lavo Bakal. What does it mean, call out Srim Lavo Bakal? Kuhuna. That anybody's not able to enter the Kal Kuhuna. So, my Nihu. Who is a person that can't enter the Kal Kuhuna? That is Gioret Chuta Mibach Shloshanim Vyom Achad Udelok Rab Shimba Yochad. Right, so now, call out Srim Lavo Bakal Kuhuna. We already identified in the first Mishnah. Right, we added it. Nadine Mamzeire Suki Asufi. So what is this Mishnah adding? Kol Asurim, meaning a general statement, this klal, what is this including? It's including an additional psul de kuna. What's that additional psul de kuna? That is a girl who was nitzgayeret, who was less than 3 years old. So generally the halacha is that less than 3 years old, bi'ata, lo shmei bi'a, and therefore she, right, it doesn't matter what happened prior to 3 years old, and after she converted before 3 years old, the automatic assumption is that there's no problem of donah. There's no problem of giyoret that she may marry a kohen.
She has not been
she right later on. I mean, she has to acquiesce later on again. But the point is that when she was nitzgayeret, the point at which she was nitzgayeret, there's no longer right a chance that she was nivelet to be a zonah. All right, so now we are holding this mishnah is holding like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai disagrees. It says that even a girl that is less than pachos l'shnim yom echad, right, is what? I'm sorry. Now, this is the against the opinion. Right. So that he this is that's what Rabbi Shimon Chai says. This is not like Rabbi Shimon Chai says that even pachot mishlosh shanim v'yom echad that is a problem for a kohen. A kohen may marry a giyoret that is less than 3 years in one day. Then mutarim levol zebazet. They are able to marry one and the other. So now the Gemara says, "V'nukma b'bachlo shanim v'yom echad v'atilu Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai." Why are you going to such an extreme to make the case that it's identified, or the additional person that is psula l'kuna here? Why are you identifying it as someone who is less than 3 years and one day? Why don't you just say it is over? This is a gioret that is over 3 years and one day, who is not mentioned in the previous Mishnah, right? And why don't we say that's the case? And it's even like Shimon Bar Yochai. The Gemara says, "Im kain." If you did that, the Mishnah falls apart, or the logic of the Mishnah doesn't hold. Why is that? Because at the time of the Bat Shloshim v'Yom Echad, Hab Chuta Bat Shloshim v'Yom Echad, Dimuter Lavo Bekal, Kuna, Asura Lavo Zebazeh. Alright, so what are you saying now? That the age of the girl when she's Nitzgayeret will determine whether she's allowed to marry into, right, the Suleim or not. You have two issues, right? You have one issue is who's allowed to marry a Kohen? And the other one is, once we know if she is or isn't allowed to marry a Kohen, that'll identify whether she's allowed to marry a Mamzer and all these others here. So now, what are you suggesting? You're suggesting there'll be a differentiation between a Gioret, someone who is converted, whether she is over the age of 3 or below the age of 3. That would suggest what? If she's over the age of 3 and she is a Tzurelik Kohen, then she's allowed to marry a Mamzer. Right? On the other hand, if she's less than 3, and that means what? She is Muteret Lekohen according to Shimba Yochai, then what? She's not allowed to marry a Mamzer? Why not? What's the reason a Ger can marry a Mamzer? Because Gerim are lo Nikre Kal Hashem, right? They're not included in the Kal Hashem. So if you say a girl over 3 can marry a Mamzer, that's because you believe that Gerim are not Nikre Kal. If that's the case, then a girl under the age of 3, it shouldn't matter. If she's a Gioret, that by definition, right, she is not part of quote-unquote Kal Hashem. That's the case. She should be able to marry a Mamzer. So she should be Muteret both to the Kohen and to the Mamzer. She's Muteret to both Tzadim. And that's so, if that's the case, it doesn't fit the Mishnah. That's why the Gemara could not set up the Mishnah like Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Because otherwise you come to a conclusion, or you come to a situation which does not follow the pattern or the klal of the Mishnah. That's what Gemara is about to say here. Because we see that at the time of the Bash Loshim Yom Echad, Abchutam Mipash Loshim Yom Echad, Dimuter Lavo Bekal Kuna, there she's allowed to go to Kahuna. Atsur Lavo Bezeh Bezeh? She's not allowed to marry a Mamzer? Why? Number one, she's muter to marry a Kohen, and she's muter to marry a Mamzer, because she's not a Kal Hashem. So she's allowed to marry the Kohen because she doesn't have a din of a Zona, because she's less than 3 years. She's allowed to marry the Mamzer because she doesn't have a classification as Kal Hashem. So that won't work. So now what the Gemara has, we're left with, is explaining our Mishnah, including a case, not like Rav Shimon bar Yochai, a case where the girl is less than 3 years in one day, and even so, she's not allowed to be married a Kohen. So if she's not allowed to marry the Kohen, then she's allowed to marry...
But then after when she's 23, she's not allowed to
marry. Right. Then even so, obviously she would be not able to... They don't want to say over 3, because that implies something about below 3. Once you say below 3, that includes above 3 as well. Right? The Gemara says, B'kololu, is your principle such a good principle? Anybody who can't marry a Kohen can then marry a Mamzer. Let me give you a case. Right? Hare Almana Grusha. An Almana and a Grusha can marry a... Right? Almana and Grusha can not marry a Kohen. The Klala, and also Klala, Bizona, all these are not able to marry a Kohen. These are Psulim, the Kohanim. Yes, that's Surim Lavo B'Kal Kuna. That's Surim Lavo B'Zeh. Just because you're an Almana doesn't entitle you to marry a Mamzer. Just because you're a Grusha Chutza does not give you, you're still part of Kal Hashem, you can't marry a Mamzer, even though you are unable to marry a Kohen or a Kohen Gadol. In all these instances, you are Psula Lakuna, right? You're Psula Lakuna, and nevertheless, you're not allowed to marry a Mamzer. So it fails the test of our Mishnah. That it can't be. Bitu? Zebazeh means that I can marry all the Psulim. All the Psulim. What a Psulim is a Mamzer. No, but Zebazeh means all Psulim. The Klal here is identifying or adding on to what was in the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah, that was the Mishnah of all the Psulim that are Surin Lavo Lekuna. This is adding an additional Psul. That additional Psul now, if you say it's an Amana, a Grusha, and a Chalutza, that doesn't, that's not true. The principle just does not hold. So this is the two. The principle also makes the opposite, meaning that you can infer from the principle that Hamutar Asur. That means that anybody who's Mutar to marry a Kohen, right, can therefore not marry a Mamzer. Is that really true? Bahari Gir. Excuse me, Ger Shmutar be Kohenet.
Umutar.
Right, a Ger can marry a Kohenet. Umutar be Mamzer. So here a Ger who is allowed to marry a Kohenet is also allowed to marry a Mamzeret. Right? So now truthfully, this question is not such a strong question. Because the Gemara did a subtle change here. The Gemara says, well, Ger can marry a Kohenet. Right? The problem of Psul Kuna is that Kohenet doesn't have a Psul Kuna at all. Meaning that, the fact that a Ger can marry a Kohenet does not really mean that he's Mutar to Bola Kuna. It's Mutar to Kohenet, because Kohenet is not Asura to marry people that are Asura to Kuna. So meaning that the Gemara's answer, Tosfos jumps out and says that you have to say here, that the real case here, as far as there's a ger that marries a bat Yisrael. That a ger marries a bat Yisrael, that the bat, the child born of that marriage, is muter the kohen. And is muter the mamzer. Right, so here you have a ger who marries a kohenet. Right, a ger who marries a kohenet. Now, the child that's born to that marriage, that bat is muteret right? Like kahuna, because she is a right, a bat. She's a bat Israeli, right? She is a fine product for a kohen, because she doesn't have a problem that she's not the giyoret. On the other hand, she may not be part of Kal Hashem because she's father is a ger. If I was a ger, then she, right, is identified by the ichus of her father. The ichus of her father is a ger, then she may not be part of Kal Hashem, and she will be muteret this mamzer. So that's what Tosfos says, that's the case over here. The case over here is because the product of such a marriage of a ger and someone else, the daughter of that marriage is the one that we're saying is what? Both muteret the kohen and muteret the mamzer. And because of that, it doesn't follow the principle that we established. When you're asur, you're mutter. And if you're mutter, you should be asur. And over here, she's muteret to both sides.
Is there ever a repercussion for a kohen if she, let's say, marries, let's say, a goy gomor, and he dies, can she go back and eat truma?
No.
At all, she never loses that.
No, she may not go back in that case. If she marries a psul kuna, she may not go back to eating truma.
That has repercussions here, these cases, maybe.
Yeah, but it doesn't. We're asking problems over here. Is that she's mutar? She's mutar to marry. She marries a chlal. She's mutar to marry a chlal. She's mutar to marry a chlal.
Later on, it's her though.
Right, but that doesn't change the status of the kiddushin.
She's mutar.
Yeah, she is allowed to marry him. There are repercussions if she gets divorced. If the marriage fails, then there are repercussions. Okay. Ella Amar Rav Natan Baroshia. Now we have a second Amora trying to explain it. Talking Kamar. Kol shukrein asur li sa et vito. It's not a restriction against marrying the woman, but anybody a kohen can't marry his daughter. Right? Then, we're gonna say is, anybody who's asur to marry his daughter, then he's muter to both their bezef. My new, what's that case? Ger, shenasa gioret. It's a case where a ger marries a gioret. Uke Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Right? So, it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Again, this is, something that's coming up in the Gemara. We're gonna discuss his opinion. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, a ger that marries a gioret, right? The product or the child, right, that is born of that marriage is not, right, allowed to marry a kohen. That daughter is not allowed to marry a kohen. He's not allowed to marry a kohen. Then they are mutarim levels zebazeh. Then they can join in. I mean, if your child, if your daughter, right, the product of your marriage cannot marry a kohen, then you can marry any of the sulim. Right, the kolohu. Is that really true? The kosher kohen has truly said bito mutarim lo v'zobazeh. Any person whose daughter the kohen may not marry, right? Nevertheless, they are mutarim lo v'zobazeh. I'll give you a case. Harei chalal, right? Chalal shenasa bat Yisrael. A chalal that marries a bat Yisrael, the kohen has truly said bito. Here you have a kohen chalal that marries the Israelites. The child that's born is a kohen chalal. If the child is born as a kohen chalal or kohen chalalet, right, then she may not marry a kohen. And nevertheless, a father, a chalal, is not mutar to marry a mamzer. A kohen chalal is still a part of Kal Hashem. It's not a kohen necessarily for standing as a kohen, but he's still part of Kal Hashem. It's not like marrying a mamzer, so the principle doesn't work. So what does Gemara say? No. What? She knows about so a kohen, asur li sabito, asur nam levo zebazeh. Lo kasha, this is like always, the Rabbi Stoy ben Rabbi Yehuda. Right, this is like Rabbi Stoy ben Yehuda. We've had Rabbi Stoy ben Yehuda before that. That Israeli, Bat Israel is a mitzvah Torah, the Kohenim Chalulim. That means that if a Kohen Chalal marries an Israeli, the child born of that marriage is Kshera Lekuna, meaning the Bat, the daughter that's born of that marriage, is Kshera Lekuna because the Israeli is Mitzaheret. So in that case, it works on the principle. Why? Because that daughter is Muter Lekuna, that means that the father is going to be Asur to marry a Mamzer. So follows our principle. Mar says, what about Chalal? Shouldn't that say the Chalalah? What happens if you have a kohen chalal that marries a kohenet, a chalalah? So in that instance, right, the kohen is a surly sabito. The kohen cannot marry his daughter because now you have a problem because there's no Israeli here. It could be Metaher, the daughter. And therefore the daughter that's born of such a marriage is a surah de kuhuna. But surah nami lavo, zebazet. And they're also what restricted the parents, the chalal and chalalet, cannot marry a mamzer or mamzeret. They're not working. The two, hamutar asur. Right, what are you going to say? What about the opposite case? The case where if you're mutar to marry a kohen means that you're a sword to go either way. Or a ger shenasa bat Yisrael. A ger that marries a bat Yisrael, but kohen mutar li sabito. Again, we just discussed this case. If a ger marries a bat Yisrael, the daughter that's born of that marriage is mutar at the kuna. Why is she mutar at the kuna? Because she's not the gioret. Right, so that she's the product of a marriage that's a kosher marriage. And when that child is born, she can marry a kuna. But she's also, what? Mutaret. Why is she mutar le mamzerim? Because she's born of a ger. Her father's a ger. So that makes her not Kal Hashem, because the yichus is through the father. And therefore, she's mutar gam ve mamzer. So that's the case. So now you have a case that doesn't work with the principle established by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you're asur to marry a Kohen, if your daughter is asur to marry a Kohen, then the parents, right, cannot marry into a mamzer, all the psule cow. And if the daughter is, what, muter the tuna, that suggests that she is asur. If she's asur, then you are mutar. Over here we have a case where the daughter is mutar to vol the tuna, and still, what? You are, and she's also muteret, right, lavod zebedet. And you are also the father, who's a ger, is allowed to marry a mamzer. That's not, the principle's not working. Alright, Elo Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Bar Avua. A third attempt to explain the Mishnah. The machlokas here had to do with the creation of mamzerim. So truthfully, this answer of Rav Nachman already does not really answer one of the questions he had, is what is this adding on to the previous Mishnah? Because this really is not adding, or it's not additive to the previous Mishnah, but rather it's a totally separate machlokas. This machlokas has to do with how do you generate a mamzer? What is classified as a mamzer? And we know we have a three-way machlokas. Gemara is going to identify it in 1 second. But there's a machlokas as to how you can create a mamzer. So over here, the machlokas we have here in the Tanakhama is what is classified as a mamzer? Which mamzerim can marry each other? Because what is a mamzer? Which Easter arayot generates a mamzer that are going to be mutarim lavo zebazet? So that's the machlokas over here. Tanakhama sabar afilu mamzer meachoto nami ave mamzer. Tanakhama believes that even from a product of a relationship with achoto, whereas achoto is a chiyuv karet. So even in a chiyuv karet, that generates a mamzer. Rabbi Yehuda Sover may should isha be mamzer. Only extramarital affair will get you a mamzer, because that is chiyuv mitzvah basis. That will generate a mamzer. Now achoto lo be mamzer, but if it's from achoto, one of the rayot that's only chiyuv karet, that will not generate a mamzer. So what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is asur. These, a mamzer from achoto and a mamzer from eshedish may not marry each other, because truthfully, a mamzer from achoto is not a mamzer according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Tanakhama, both of them are mamzerim, therefore they can't marry each other. How do you explain the Mishnah when it says kol shasurim, kol shasurim? The Rashi says here it means kol noladim isurei erva. Anybody born of an isur erva, mamzerim hay. They are mamzerim. That's the Tanakhama's position. Umotarim lavoz zebzeh. They can marry each other. Rabbi Yehuda comes to say, no, Oser, that's not true. You can't make a blanket statement that anybody who's Asur by Erva will produce a Mamzer, because that's not true. There are different streams of Isurim. Isur Mises Basin will create a Mamzer, but an Isur Karet will not. Sumer says, Tanina. Tanina. What is this helping us? This mission is not helping us. We have an explicit machlokas between them, and what do you need another machlokas like this? Ezu Mamzer. What is a mamzer? Koshu below Yavo, Zibir Rabbi Akiva, is Rabbi Akiva's famous position that anything that is an Easter lav, right, anything that is a restricted marriage, a lost improper marriage, produces a mamzer. Shimon says, Mani Amor, Koshu Chayvin Alav Karei, Spitei Shamayim. Shimon Tamei says, anybody who's Chayv Karei, right, is, makes a pretty mamzer. I mean that, of course, Mises Basin also, but even Karei creates a mamzer, Aloha Kitvarav. Right. Right, exactly. Baloch is barab. Baloch is like him. Rabbi Yishua Meir, Kosh Chayivim Alav Mitzvot Beis Din. She says no. Only Mitzvot Beis Din. Only that, the most stringent form of arayot will generate mamzerus. So that can't be the explanation of our Mishnah. We have a clear machlokas between them. So first of all, you could just say Rabbi Yehuda not mentioned in this Mishnah. Meaning that if Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, right, is the same opinion as Rabbi Yoshua, then why is Rabbi Yehuda author of our Mishnah over here? Rabbi Yeshua should be the author of the Mishnah, not Rabbi Yehuda. Why are we bringing all of a sudden a new opinion that says it? And if you want to bring both, then Rabbi Yehuda should have been brought in the other Mishnah, which is that it should be Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua so bring. Why all of a sudden you have one time over here, one time over here? It doesn't make sense. That's my focus. Alright, now our fourth stem. Ela Amarova Ger Amoni Umavik Abinau. Now the machlokas here is about a Ger Amoni Umavik. Vaki Kamar. Kolasrim Lavobakal Umainihu. What is the Srim Lavobakal? That is a Geramoni Umav Moabi Mutarim Lavo Zebazet. They can marry amongst each other. Iochi, my Rabbi Yehuda Oser. Alright, then what's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Why did he say there's a problem here? That sounds pretty straightforward, that if you're Geramoni Moabi, that you can marry into this. Kal, Hakikamar, Apo Pish Rabbi Yehuda Oser, Ger Bemamzeret. Rabbi Yehuda, we saw before, Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says that a ger may not marry a mamzeret. Why? Because ger is classified as kal Hashem. Since ger is classified as kal Hashem, therefore he cannot marry a mamzeret. That is, hani mili ger de ro'ui lavo be kahal. That is only a guy that ger that is ra'oi to join the kaal. About ger amoni u'mavayi, ain when we in the kaal. A ger amoni u'mavayi will permanently not allowed to be married into the kaal. I mean that a mitzri and a domi can marry, or any other nation can marry into the kaal eventually. I mean a ger, they can marry up for one generation. A ger, regular ger, giori can marry in right away. Amoni, a domi and a mitzri after three generations, but a moavi and a moni are permanently precluded. When they're gerim, they're permanently precluded from joining the kaal Hashem. So that when we say the gerim are called the kaal Hashem, that's only with gerim that can actually join the kaal Hashem at some point in time. But if they can never join the kaal Hashem, they will not be identified as kaal Hashem. If that's the case, even though Rabbi Yehuda says in general a ger may not marry a mamzeret, his exception to that rule is a ger amoni and moavi. Now, how to read the Mishnah? The Mishnah is only one opinion now. The Mishnah is all Rabbi Yehuda. Right? It's not a machlokes, but Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah. That even though Rabbi Yehuda is oser, in general, a ger mamzeret says over here that if they're surim lavo b'kal, meaning that a ger amoni and moavi are permanently asur lavo b'kal, they are mutarim zebezeh. They are mutarim with, right, a mamzeret. So they have to read the whole Mishnah as a single opinion, not that it's a Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda is arguing, but rather it's modifying Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, we know, says that a ger cannot marry a mamzeret. That's only what? If they are not the Surim Levo Bakal. But if they are Surim Levo Bakal, like a Geramoni and Movi, or permanently a Surim Levo Bakal, they may marry a Mamzer.
How do you have a Mizgara then at all?
Why?
If they can't come in the Kaal,
they can marry each other. They can marry an Amoni and a Movi.
They keep all the just the segregated camp of Eden, the Eden, but they,
yeah, exactly,
they
can't marry into the cow. I mean, you have that even with the mystery. Mystery has, for three generations, got to stay separate.
It's going to be lapsing soon.
Okay, but at that point, for the first three generations, they
got to stay separate. But if it's forever, then...
Right, so they have to stay separate, right? It'll be a segregated community, yes. Terabanan, ben teisha shonim yom achad, geramoni umoavi, mitri ve'edomi, kuti v'natin chlau umamzer, sheboa kohenet, v'leviyah v'batishal paskua. That a person, once they're over the age of 9 years in one day, which is biato bia, then if they are a geramoni, moavi, mitzri, adomi, kuti, natin, chalal, all these are psule kuna, mamzer, shabola kohenet, if they married kohenet, or leviyahu Israel, or not even married them, but they had bia with them, paslua. They make a pasul, these women may no longer marry a kohen. Now look, for a kohen it has other implications, that if she goes back to her father's house, she can't eat shuma. But beyond that, a leviyah and Israeli, they may no longer marry a kohen. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kosh Zaro Pasul, Potzel. Kosh Ein Zaro Pasul, Eino Potzel. That anybody whose offspring are Pasul, they are Potzel the Kuna. Kosh Ein Zaro Pasul, Eino Potzel. Meaning that only people who generate, right, a offspring that is Pasul the Kuna, they ruin the woman that is, that they have Bia with. So if their offspring cannot join the Kaal or cannot marry to a kohen, then they may not, if they have Bia with any of these women, they Pasul the Kuna. If you can marry his daughter, then you can marry the widow. If you cannot marry his daughter, you can't marry his widow. We'll stop over here.